All right. Good morning. My name is Megan Dale. I am Pastor BJ's wife. I am lucky to call him my husband. I think he's pretty awesome. And I think he's a great youth pastor. And I'm not just saying that as his wife. I can tell you he really, really loves students and he really, really loves people. And I see that even in our home and in extra hours and just all that goes into ministry. I see that. Okay, I'm going to do a shameless plug real quick for youth student ministries. If you are an adult leader and you serve our students here at Bethel, will you stand up, please? I didn't tell them to do this. You're embarrassed. I know some of you. Give it up for our leaders. These are incredible leaders that we get to serve alongside. They're really incredible. And you would love to serve with students too. I'm telling you. You may be sitting there saying like, Megan, teenagers aren't my thing. Teenagers are your thing, okay? They are your thing. All they want is a little bit of love, a little bit of encouragement, like a Dutch Bros run once in a while, and that you believe in them. That's all they need. Some prayer, like a swift kick sometimes. Once you get to know them though, I recommend that. Get to know them pretty well before the swift kick. But if you would like to join our team, our incredible team, please visit, I think it's Nikki is going to be back there, and Kaiza at our table, and let them know, I want to hang out with teenagers. I want to serve. And there's all different levels to serve on our team. So please come and be a part of the next generation. So I really believe, you know, there's a lot of talk about this generation. They're caught up in social media and in technology and drugs, and they're so weighed down by anxiousness and depression. No, this is a generation full of hope. This is a generation full of passion. And don't you want to be a part of what God is doing? These are our next leaders, our next teachers, our next pastors, our next sound techs. These are our next police officers. These are our next moms and dads. They are the hope for our future through Jesus. In them, working in their hearts and their lives, this is the hope for the church and for what Jesus wants to do from here on out. Come join our team. Be a part of this. It's exciting. It's very exciting. So currently, we are in a series called Hear Me Roar, and it's Summer Stories. And an awesome youth leaders came up with this. This was not Pastor BJ or I. These are awesome leaders. So this summer, we're sharing our stories about what God has done in and through our lives. And that is powerful. Your story, my story, our student's story, it's powerful. It releases freedom to other people. We connect. God designed us that we could connect with him and connect with each other. And one of the ways we do that is through story. And we do it through the story of God. We get to be a part of the narrative of what he's doing here on earth, in our lives, and through our lives. And stories are powerful. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege to share part of my story with a student, with Julia Noble. She helped me out, and we worked together to share our story about purpose. And it's incredible to listen to a student. Like, I was blown away. Can I tell you that, Ju? Like, you're incredible, and I know Julia well. But some of the stuff she said and the Holy Spirit just spoke through her, I was like, Ju, yeah, that's right. Way to go. So she did an awesome job, and it's such a joy and a privilege to serve with students and to serve them. They're incredible people, and we appreciate your love and your support for them. Bethel is a place that does love students and does love teenagers, so thank you so much for that. Also, join our team and go visit the table at the back after church. I want to start off, as I was preparing for this message, I was just worshiping, and I felt like God said, washed out. And I just want to start to say that maybe some of you are here today and you would describe your life or your circumstance, your marriage, your career, who you are as a person. You would say washed up, like no good. Life's been difficult. There's been some storms in life and they've rocked you. And you say you look pretty shabby. You're a little bit shipwrecked, you feel like. And washed up is the word you would use or words you would use to describe where you're currently at. And our feelings are our feelings, but God's truth supersedes our feelings and our thoughts and what we think. And I want you to know today that God says that you've washed ashore. You are not washed up. You've washed up onto the shores of his grace and his love and his mercy and his goodness. And he has purpose for your life, and he sees potential in you. And he believes in you, and he wants to restore you back to the person that he designed you to be. You are not washed up. you've just washed ashore. And where you're here today, it's not by accident. It's not by mistake. This is holy ground. And God has prepared this time for you and prepared this time for your heart. And he's chasing after you and he's coming after you this morning. Okay? He's going to be here. He's already here. Worship was awesome. It makes it so easy to preach. This is so easy after that worship set. Thank you, worship team. Making my job simple. So we're going to jump in today to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 through 31. We're going to read, I have the ESV, so if your Bible says it a little different, I'm still reading out of the Bible, guys. This is still God's word. Don't freak out. So starting at verse 27, it says, "What do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel?" Those are names for God's people in the Old Testament, so you could just put your name in there. That's fine. "My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's good, people. That's a good promise from God. So the book of Isaiah is a historical book. So there's different types of books in the Bible. So the Bible is one book. It's composed of smaller books, all spirit-breathed. That means God inspired the writers to write it. It's perfect. It's blameless. It's errant. Errantless? Is that right? Let me know. Shake your heads. Thank you. Thank you, people. Inerrant. It is inerrant. God's word. And we can trust on it and rely on it. So there's different types of books. There's historical narratives, poetry, riddles. If you are into those, I am not. I'm like, just tell me what you're trying to tell me. Just say it plainly. The riddles are tough for me. There's apocalyptic writing. It talks about the ends of the world, the ends of time, God restoring everything in its full. But Isaiah specifically is a prophetic book. You see, Isaiah heard from God. He was like the middleman. He heard from God, and then he spoke to God's people what he wanted them to hear and what he wanted them to know. So sometimes that was warning. Sometimes that was encouragement. Sometimes it was a promise. Sometimes it was correction. If you can't guess already, Isaiah 40 here, this is a promise that God's people get to hold on to, that you and I get to hold on to. It's a promise. So the background for this chapter, it's been a stormy time in Israel's history. They've decided, we're good, God. We can do this on our own. Not really interested in you interfering, is how they felt, in our life. We want to live how we want to live. We want to do our own thing. You do you, boo, is what they're saying back to God. And so you kind of reap the consequences of that. And that's where they were. They were in captivity in Babylon, and it was really crappy, and it sucked, and it was really intense, and it was long, but it's what they kind of chose. And so that's been the background of where they're at, and then breaks through this bright word of promise and hope. Jesus wants to break through in your life with a bright promise and hope for you today. You may feel like you've been captive. You may feel like you're stuck. You may feel like, I ain't ever going to break through. My life's never going to change. I'm washed up. But today, Jesus has a bright word of promise and hope for you. Believe, even a little. Even if you have a little bit of a belief, God can work with that. So Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, we're going to narrow in there. It says, "Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So we're going to focus in on that word, wait. This word wait applies to all people in all times who feel weak, feeble, guilty, helpless. And in light of your circumstances, in light of your life, you wait and you choose to put your trust in the Lord. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean your life is perfect. It doesn't mean everything makes sense. It doesn't mean that you understand the beginning from the end. It doesn't mean you're happy about it. It just means that you wait, and in light of everything, you choose to trust God. You choose to trust him. So it's a Hebrew word called Quava, and I said that right because none of you guys speak Hebrew, I'm sure, so you can't tell me I'm wrong. It means to wait for, twist, stretch. It's the tension of enduring, to be strong, to remain await. It's a feeling of waiting for construction, waiting for something to happen. It's a tense time, the waiting. And waiting can be difficult, right? It can be hard. Like when my six-year-old says, "No, Mom, I'll tie my own shoes." And I'm like, "Heaven help me. Jesus, now we gotta go." And you're tying your shoes and you're practicing, but it's hard. It's a wait. It's a wait. So they've got this tension, the Israelites do, between captivity and from the promise of what God says, this promised freedom that he's telling them they can have. So there's this tension here. He tells them to wait, not to stand around, not to complain, not to twiddle their thumbs, not to say, "Woe is me," not to be a victim and say, "Look how terrible my life is," but to wait on him. You got to trust God and get to know who he is through the waiting, through holding on to him, through hanging on. Because with God, there's no wasted time. He wastes no time. And sometimes waiting feels like that, right? Like I'm waiting for things in my life to get better. I'm waiting for the next promotion. I'm waiting for my finances to make it. Like I don't want to have to go month to month. Like how am I going to pay that power bill? I'm waiting for my kid to start making the right choices. I'm waiting for them to stop hurting themselves. I'm waiting for my marriage to be fruitful, to be good. I'm waiting for a baby, maybe some of you. Like I'm waiting for that promised child that God said I would have. I'm waiting to not feel depressed. I'm waiting for hope to come. I'm waiting, and you're not there yet, and God sees you, and he has no wasted time. There's no trial, no heartbreak, no loss, no mistake, no injustice, no struggle that's wasted with God. He's fighting to turn it around for your good because you love him and you want to serve him. He's fighting for you and on your behalf. So I've been through a time of waiting. I'm going to share a little with you in my life. I guess it's probably been to close to 2 years now. But sometimes it's hard to do what God asks you to do. Can I get an amen? Okay, thank you. Oh, I feel so much better, guys. I'm not alone. It is hard to wait for God. And we came to this season of life, my family, and things were good. It's not like it was a terrible season of life, but things were just hard in some ways and harder than I felt like they should be. You know, like I was working really hard at things and not really experiencing any freedom or growth or breakthrough. And it was just tough. And I felt like it hurt, but I felt like God was saying, "You're holding things back." And I'm like, "What? What does that mean? I blaze a trail. I move forward. I don't wait around. I'm holding things back. What are you talking about?" And he's like, "No, Meg, you're holding things back a little bit." And it all culminated. I'm struggling with words today. You know what I mean, people, you know. So it came to this point one night where God said, "Take a break." And I was like, "Okay, what does that mean? Like, I get to go on vacation and my husband's going to stay home with my kids? Like, take a break? Okay, sure." He's like, "That's not what I mean, Megan. You need to take a break and you need to step back from everything." He meant everything. So my life consisted of my awesome husband, my wonderful kids. I had three at the time. I have four now, but I just had three. Was super involved. I was leading with my husband. We were a team leading the youth ministry. I would come on Wednesdays with our littlest and probably two littlest at the time, and we'd pray together and vision cast and dream about the future and pray for students and pray for our leaders. It seemed like an awesome time. We were doing it together. God had called me to ministry, and I felt like finally we're doing it together. We're doing ministry together. This is so awesome. And he said, "Take a step back from everything. You're not to be involved in youth ministry. You're not to pursue that internship that I put on your heart. You are not to serve even in Promised Land or in women's ministry. You are to serve your husband. You are to love your family well, and you're to wait on me." And it was really, really hard to do. And for a variety of reasons. It was really difficult to enter this season of rest because I felt like I was going to be giving up so much. I loved what we were doing. I loved my life. I loved ministry. And it felt like such a sacrifice to trust God and to give that up and to step back. You know, to sit at home with babies on a Wednesday night and to just show up for church on a Sunday morning. felt like a really difficult thing to do, you know, to not go on the trips, to not go to camp, to not go on the retreats. And what would people think of me? Because that seems kind of weird. You know, would people ask questions like, is there something wrong with their marriage? Did Megan mess up? Did she do something wrong? What are people going to think? Do they think I don't support my husband? Are students going to think I don't love them anymore, that I don't care about them? What are people going to think? No one else around me is doing that. No other youth pastor's wife did I know was involved in nothing in their church. Are people going to, how can I preach that it's so important to love the church and to serve and I not serve and I not be involved when it's such a core value that I hold and I think is so important to spiritual growth and maturity is being active in your local church, being a part of what God is doing. How could I just sit back? I wondered how my mentors would respond. I wondered how Pastor Tim would respond when thankfully, BJ had to talk to him. What was going to come on the other side of this obedience? And I struggled with it, but I knew. And I came home and I told BJ and I said, listen, I need to take a season of rest. And it was hard for him too, right, babe? You were like, I don't know about that. I don't like that. And I said, well, let's just pray about it. And you let me know. And through a variety of ways, God spoke to him and said, no, Megan needs this season. She's got to wait. And she's got to rest. And for us, it was just some foundational things. Not that we didn't have a foundation, that we didn't love Jesus, we weren't building our lives around him, but there were things that he wanted to firm up so that we could move forward, so that we weren't held back. There were things that needed to be a little bit stronger. And so I did. I pulled back from everything, and my life became very, very simple. Very simple. Like, changing diapers and taking care of kids, not that I didn't do that already, and spending time with Jesus and loving my family. And that was kind of it. There wasn't much outlet beyond that, excuse me, for what I felt like God wanted me to do. And it was just focusing on my marriage and focusing on my kids and focusing on knowing Jesus. But can I tell you, in that waiting season, and it was an expectant time. I didn't sit around and do nothing. I dove into God's word, and it had been some of the richest times with Jesus where he dug these deep, deep wells inside of me. You see, that's what happens in the waiting, is that he digs these deep wells inside of us where we get to just focus on him and not focus on what has been or what's going to be in the future, but just to narrow in and to zero in on him and in who he is. And what it looks like to live life without expectations, without fear of what people are going to think, and just to know him more. And I've got journal pages full of things that Jesus spoke to me that are just sitting on a shelf of just really sweet times. And one of the things that came out of that time was a sweet promise of a son, that we would have a son. We had three girls and love our girls. Don't get me wrong, like super happy with our girls. We're not having any more babies. And Jesus says, no, I want to give you a son. And he spoke that to us and fulfilled that promise. We have such a sweet baby boy. He's just over a year old. We all love him. His name is Reese. He has red hair. He gets it from BJ's beard. People ask me that all the time. I do have a sister with red hair. She's here. I get to embarrass her. My sister Bethany's here. Clap for her because it'll really embarrass her. Yes. If you came to the fundraiser, she made the really great dessert. She is so good at making desserts. But my sister Beth gets her red hair from her dad. So it's not from my sister. It's from BJ's. We have different dads. But from my husband's beard. You picked up on that. Okay, let's keep going. Let's get back to Bible. Sorry, guys. Okay, so what was waiting? What was on the other side of waiting? Well, I'll tell you, it broke for me. And this is just for me. What's on the other side of your promise of waiting? I'm not sure because I don't know your circumstance, but God does. So allow Holy Spirit to speak to you about what's on the other side of waiting for you. But for me, it broke my need for approval from other people. Approval from like the pastoral staff, that was really big for me. Approval from you guys, approval from students, approval from our leaders, approval from family. I had this deep need for approval from people, and it broke that in me, and really in surprising ways. Like, I'd find myself in a situation and go, oh my gosh, that like didn't totally boost my ego, or I didn't feel like I had to say yes to that thing because I wasn't searching for anyone's approval there. It gave me a healthy understanding of leadership and being released to do what God had asked me to do without a title, without a salary, without a nameplate, like Raise your hand if you're in here and pastor doesn't go before your name. Raise your hand, please. Thank you very much. Okay, so God has still released you and called you to do things. Pastor doesn't make you released to do God's work. It's the fact that you love him and he loves you and he wants to partner with you to see his kingdom come to earth, to share the good news of Jesus and what he's done for us. So it was an exciting time for me. There was incredible growth in faith for me and boldness and trust and belief. And can I also say it was like really relaxing and rejuvenating once I got into it, where I was like, oh, I don't want to do this, God. I don't love this. But like probably 2 months in, I was like, cool, we could stay here forever. This is good. You know, but last fall he was like, no, let's get going again. It's time. I'm like, this is just getting so good. But there is waiting for you after this time of rest and this waiting. After that, God has such incredible things in store for us. And if the worship team wants to come join me up here on stage, thank you. Come along. Give it up for the worship team. This is our student worship team. This is all student-led. They're going to do a set for us here at the end. So don't leave. When I'm done speaking, don't leave. They're going to lead us in an awesome little set here at the end. So we're going to read, if I can get straight here, in Isaiah chapter 55, 6 through 11. Or 13, 6 through 13, excuse me. Jew, you can start playing. And it's going to come up for you. So it says, seek God while he is here to be found. He's here to be found. Pray to him while he is close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God. Can I say, we might not leave God in every area of our life, but sometimes we walk away. Let's be real. Sometimes there are areas that we're like, okay, God, I haven't seen you move. I haven't seen you change anything. I'm kind of done. And you've walked away. Today, come back to God. Come back to him. Come back to God today. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to our God who is lavish with forgiveness. That's good. I need a lot of that. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. This is God speaking. He says, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descends from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. What has God spoken to you that he promised to you? Hold on to that. What he says he starts, he's going to finish. You can bank on his word and on his promise. He's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten your situation. He sees what's going on. Hold on to hope. Hold on to faith. Hold on to Jesus. He's going to meet you there. He's in the waiting. He is with you. And this is a good promise too. It says, so you'll go out in joy. You'll be led into whole and complete life. The mountains and the hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. No more thistles, but giant sequoias. No more thorn bushes, but stately pines. Monuments to me, to God, living and lasting evidence of God. You are a sequoia. You are evidence of God working, that he is alive, that he is living, and he wants to jump into your life, into your circumstance, and prove that his promises are true. Because if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. And if he'll do it for you, he'll do it for your kids and for your family and for your coworkers and for your friends. He's good. And have we not heard of that today? If he did it for Pastor Jim, he'll do it for your uncle. If he raised a boy from the dead, he'll bring things back to life in your life. That's the power of the story. Jesus is alive, and he wants to move and work in your heart and your life today. And he wants to pull you ashore like the tide. It goes out and it comes in. and it goes out and it comes in. And you may feel like you've gone out from God and then you come in kind of close and you go out and you come in. Well, today, remember, you've come ashore. God's grace and his love and his goodness has pulled you in and you've come ashore. You're not drowning. You're not going to die. You're not going to fail. You're going to make it because you've come ashore. You're on the shores of his goodness and his freedom and his love and his peace and life. All that Isaiah 55 has to say, that's for you. That's your promise. That's life for you today. And so if you would just bow your heads across this place, we're going to take a moment to respond to God. And I've talked a lot about Jesus. And so just quick, like compact version of the good news and Jesus that I'm talking about. We all know that we mess up. Like we know we're not perfect. We know we make mistakes and that's true. And God has a measuring rod and God says, yep, you don't measure up. You're not perfect. And I know that you can't be. And so he sent Jesus, his one and only son, to come to this earth to live the perfect life that you and I could never, ever live because our sin keeps us from God. It creates this chasm, this separation between us and him. And so he sent Jesus to close that gap. And the Bible says that sin leads to death. And so what we deserve because of our sin is death. But today he says you have life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the penalty for sin. And then on the third day, this is why we celebrate Easter, he rose from the dead. He's alive. He's not dead. And so we have life. The things that kill us and that trip us up, we don't have to be tripped up by those things. We don't have to be killed by those things. If we hand them to God, we can have life. And it's so simple. It's just trusting Jesus. It's saying, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you raised from the dead and that you want to raise me to life, to full, abundant life. And so this morning, I want to invite you, and don't be shy. I know y'all aren't shy. I saw last week. You guys are not shy people. But God's grace is pulling you in like waves of a current. And so I ask that you would come forward. Come forward. If there's storms that have happened in your life, or you feel like you've got promises that you need fulfilled, would you come forward? Would you move forward? Now come. Allow God's grace to move you forward. Life has not been happy. Life has not been simple always. Maybe it's not what you expect or planned. You feel washed up in some areas, or someone you know feels washed up and you need fresh hope for those people in your life. Would you come forward? And Julie is going to lead us in worship. And would you all stand, please stand to your feet and let's respond to God. Let's respond to his goodness. Let's do something with the waiting, that tension of where we've been and where God's taking us. Let's respond to him this morning.